We are really glad that you are here this morning. I hope you have been made to feel welcome this morning. I hope you've had a chance to hug a neck or shake a hand or something. If you are visiting this morning, we are especially glad to have you. And like I said, hope you've been made to feel welcome. Just a couple words of announcements as we get started. The first is Monday morning Bible study will take place tomorrow. We are starting a new study. We will be working on 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. So if you want to kind of get ahead, read the first chapter of 1st John, and you will be ahead of the game tomorrow. But we will meet in the morning. Wednesday evening, we start a new study, and we start our summer series. And our summer series this year will consist of a study called Half-Truths. We will start at 6 o'clock, bring your own supper, bring a bag supper with you. At about 6:30, 6:45, we'll get started on our study. This week's Half-Truth is Everything Happens for a Reason. So we invite you to come and investigate that a little bit. Followed by, Cameron's going to come help us with the next announcement.
Good morning. So this Saturday is going to be our first golf tournament of the summer. It's going to be at Heather Hills Golf Course, June 25th, starting at 8 a.m. So the way that you can register, you can go online, and you'll find the link to the registration right there online. Also, we have an adult volleyball night that's going to be every Tuesday night from 7 to 9 this summer. So you can grab your friends, get your Sunday school class together, and come out and have a good time playing volleyball. Parents' Night Out is going to be this Friday. We're going to have games, we're going to have a movie, we're going to have all kinds of fun things, dinner for kids. So if you're interested, email Carmen. All of our emails are on the website. And also, this Wednesday night is going to be our first ever stay and play after bring your own supper and Bible study. So what it is we're going to have every Wednesday night this summer just an opportunity for everybody in the church to come and stay and have a good time participating in all kinds of activities such as, you know, Minute to Win It, volleyball, stuff like that. And when I say everybody can participate, I mean everybody can participate. Not just kids, but also parents too. So I have the Cogdills here who are going to show you that it's not just kids that can play. And what they're going to play is called Defying Gravity, and they have to, with one hand, keep two balloons up in the air at the same time for a minute. So are you guys ready? On your mark, get set, go. I think they've switched balloons. We're losing balloons.
Is it a minute yet, Carrie?
We'll say it's a minute. Good job, guys. All right, so every Wednesday night this summer, we're going to have Stay and Play. Bible study and Bring Your Own Dinner are going to start around 6, and then Stay and Play is going to start at 7. Hope to see y'all there.
We don't have balloons, but we have exciting news. Do you remember last week when Raymond talked about being in Sunbeams or Mission Friends, GAs, RAs, and learning the Great Commission? Because we all did that. I do remember learning that, memorizing that, and going over and over and over with it. And then my GA leader and my mom and my dad said, "Do you know what it means?" And at that point, when you learn what the Great Commission means, it's just, then it touches your heart. So the exciting part was, as a kid, after learning what it means, was getting to meet missionaries. And I would go to GA camp, and at that time we lived in Virginia, and we went to Camp Eagle Eyrie. And we just, meeting the missionaries was just better than the president or anybody, because these were people God had called either to stay at home and spread the word or to go to another country, far off country. And, you know, kids are like sponges, and you pull that in, and it was exciting. So the exciting part for all of us here at College Park is that we have missionaries coming next Sunday. So you want to give the schedule there?
Yeah, I'll be glad to.
And when we talk about the covered dish, I just want you to know that there's been a request. I spoke with the kids this morning to let them know that there would be missionaries talking to them in Sunday school, and there is a teacher up there who would like to make sure somebody brings chicken and dumplings. So if somebody bring chicken and dumplings.
Okay. All right. No, I'd just like to say that we've been really looking forward to next weekend for quite a while, and missionaries from across our continent are descending up on College Park. We're hosting their annual meeting, but at their request, Kim and Mark White love this church, and they asked to come to College Park out of all the churches in Winston-Salem, and so we're glad they're coming. And they get here next Sunday, and we're going to have a celebration of missions we have some surprises for the service, don't we? And we have our youth and children participating. It's going to be a lot of fun, very colorful time of worship to just celebrate God's mission to all of the call to all of us. But Kim and Mark will bring the message. And during Sunday school, right before that, they're going to be in the fellowship hall, not just them, but there's going to be missionaries from other areas of our country that will be sharing about their work. It won't be real long. It'll just be letting you meet them and hear what they do, and it'll be very inspiring. And they're going to visit the children's Sunday school classes, too. There's some others that will be doing that. So they're going to come and just tell us about what they're doing. We give to them out of our budget regularly. That's where some of our tithe money goes, a portion. So we need to see where it's going. We need to see who's being used by God with the money that we give and that every Sunday and that we send. These are your missionaries, the people you pray for that spread God's love where we can't go, and we support them. So come. This is probably the only chance you'll get to meet this many at a time, because Sunday night, we really need you to come to the covered dish and bring something good to eat, because we're going to be having 30 guests. And I know Sunday night in summer is a little hard, so that's why we're really asking you to try to come. It won't last long. It's going to be fun. It's not a planned program. It's just going to be fun with the missionaries. You'll get to know them. All of them are going to be just scattered around the tables. So we're going to have a good time, but we hope that you'll come, bring something, and be with us. Anything else you can think of?
Our children are thinking of questions to ask them. And so we had some funny questions. Not funny. They were very serious things that children wanted to know of our missionaries. So, you know, come to the covered dish, and you'll get the answers to some of those burning questions.
Yeah, burning.
Burning questions.
And I got this little note for you. Okay, thank you, Mary.
Speaking of missions, our youth are in Belize as we speak. They made it there safely yesterday. They will be there through Friday. And so we ask that you would continue. I know you've already been praying. We ask that you would continue to pray this week for them as they go and serve the people there in Belize. If you would like updates, you can check in on the At the Park page, and I think there's a link there. If not, you can go to prayingpelicansmissions.org and find the trip journals and then College Park. And I'll say, so far they've posted a picture that showed they got there safely. There should be more updates later tonight. We've already welcomed our visitors this morning, but we ask, if we got any first-time visitors, we would love for you to raise your hand just a little bit. We don't want to harass you too much or point you out. However, we do want you to have a little information about College Park, and so we invite you to do that so you can find out a little bit more about us, just as we found out a little bit more about you on the pew pads, and we are glad that you are here. But we are here this morning not for a litany of announcements, but rather so that we can engage with our Christ. We're here this morning to worship, and that's just what we're going to do.
Joy in the morning of that day.
There'll be joy in the morning of that day.
Let's pray. Father, in a world where there seems to be no love, we long for the day, Lord, where there will be love and peace and joy and forgiveness everywhere. Lord, we long to be with you. So meet us here in this place this morning. Help us to know your presence. Help us to know your love and your joy and your peace and your forgiveness. And Lord, help us not to keep that to ourselves. But Lord, let us leave this place this morning spreading your love everywhere we go. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
I love you. All right, I need all the kids to come up, please. Good morning. How's everybody doing this morning? Good. Today is a special day. Do you know what today is? It's Father's Day. That's right. Yep, today is the day that we celebrate and honor all the men in our life who has helped us and supported us and taken care of us and loved us. And there's not only just dads who do this, right? Aren't there other men in our life? Can you think of some other men who have helped us do these things?
Yeah, but if our mommies come to say, we might
like
sit down.
Yeah, yeah. Can you think of any men? Maybe not mommies. Like grandpas and cousins, right? And older brothers, teachers and pastors, right? All of those men help us grow and help us have a positive impact on our life, correct? Sometimes we don't always have a dad on earth that gives us what we need, but we have a father somewhere else who does. Do you know where that is? Where? Okay, yes. Well, I'm talking about our Father who lives in heaven. Our Father in heaven loves us unconditionally. He is always there for us no matter what. As a child of God, we all have an everlasting Father in heaven who never, ever leaves us. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3-4 says, praise be to God, the Father of Jesus. He is the Father of compassion and comfort. He comforts us in any trouble so that we can learn how to comfort others. We can trust in God to give us love and comfort no matter what, no matter when, all the time. He's there for us. All right. Today we are giving out these paper ties to our dads. Does anybody know what a charity is? What is a charity? Okay. Michaela, do you know what a charity is? Do you know what it is? What is it? A charity is when we donate money to certain organizations that help make a positive impact in other people's lives. All right? So today, this tie represents a certain charity. Okay, the charity is called the Mentoring Project. All right, the Mentoring Project is a ministry that trains and encourages mentors to invest in the lives of fatherly children. So for every one of these ties that we give out, there is money that we're going to donate to this charity to help kids that don't have any dads or anybody else, to any other male figure to help look after them. Sound good? So I'm going to give all of these. You give these to whoever, the male figure in your life that you want to. All right. Now we're going to bow our heads and pray, all right? Thank you, God, for all the dads and all the men in our life who has made a positive impact in our life. We also want to thank God because he is always there to love and comfort us. We love you so much, God. Amen.
That was just a wonderful message and a great verse that was just shared, too, about a loving father. And I'm going to be sharing, there's a change in the bulletin, to Psalm 121. If you want to go ahead and turn to Psalm 121 in your Bible or in the Pew Bible. And while you're turning there to that passage of Scripture, I'd just like to say on this wonderful day, when we give thanks for our fathers, we do remember that many of us, including myself, miss our father, our fathers who've gone on to heaven, and our grandfathers. We still miss them on Father's Day. And also there are those who maybe didn't know their father. And then there's those who I'm aware of didn't have a great relationship with their earthly father. But in light of that, God has even more so to offer. And he has a lot to offer. He has everything to offer for all of us, no matter where we are in life, whether we're experiencing a time of joy or whether we're in a time of frustration or confusion or whether we're in a time of despair. He is always our faithful Father. Would you please hear these words? I lift up my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. May God add his blessing to the reading of this, his word. He will watch over us now and forevermore. Please join me in prayer. Dear God, thank you for being our constant, steady, and faithful Father. Thank you for inspiring so many wonderful men who have gone before us through the years, those we're related to and those we're not related to, but who have been like fathers of the faith to us, who have given us guidance, advice, and wisdom, who have prayed for us, and some of those are still praying for us in heaven. Thank you so much for all of the faithful men that you have anointed and used in this church to bless so many people. Thank you for being, above all, the faithful, good Father, who hears our every thought and our prayer, and who waits on us to come and pour out our hearts to you, that you may bless us and guide us and help us. Thank you for Jesus Christ, the giving of your Son, so that we could have an intimate and personal relationship with you. We thank you so much for coming in your Son to save us from ourselves and from our sin, that we may be united with you and have a forever home just waiting on us when we leave this earth. How great that is, and what comfort it brings us. Thank you for being our faithful Father that we can turn to day or night, for being our shade on our right hand, for guarding our coming and our going today and forever. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Oh, Will you pray with me, please? Heavenly Father, we come to you at this time to thank you for all that you have given us. Our blessings are many, but we often take these blessings for granted or begin to feel that somehow they are the result of something we have done. Help us to appreciate the things we have and to always recognize that everything we have is a gift from you alone. Today on Father's Day, we want to thank you for our earthly fathers, as well as the other men in our lives, those that are still with us and those who have passed on. But we are especially grateful for our Heavenly Father. We now have a chance to give back just a small portion of what you have given us. Take these gifts and use them, and use each one of us to further your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Good morning. Good to see you this morning. Good to see you every Sunday morning. But this morning, I'm trying to help Raymond out, and hopefully all of us together as we worship. Raymond and Sandra are taking a break this weekend, and you can understand why. We need to be specifically remembering them today on this day as they continue to deal with their grief and let them know of our love and support. And you can constantly, as you think of them, remember both of them in prayer. Just 2 or 3 weeks ago now, right down here, I spoke to Raymond after worship and said, thank you for the sermon. We chatted briefly, and he said, Charles, will you speak on Father's Day? I plan to be away. And I said, well, give me a little while to think about it, and I'll get back to you on that. I was thinking about calendar and other things that were going on. And so I left here, walked out the door, and it began. Father's Day, my father, my earthly father, blessing, all these terms began churning within me and all through lunch and all afternoon and all night to the point that I lay down to go to sleep and my head was still full of it. I got up and sat down and wrote out the whole first draft of the sermon almost in a stream of consciousness and let it go. Then I could go and go to sleep. But what happened was that what evolved was a testimony of my own spiritual journey, because my earthly father and my heavenly father is so much a part of my spiritual journey. And so Raymond blessed me by giving me the opportunity to continue to work on something that I had been working on for years. And that is my story as it relates to following my heavenly father. I really grew up in a good home. Mom and dad were home. I assumed that was normal. I didn't learn until later. Not everybody had a mom and dad at home. There was no fighting. There was no alcohol. Dad went to work in the morning, came home in the afternoon. He washed the car on Saturday, always. That was the ritual. And then on Sunday, we went to church. So it was a good family life. I remember coming home after school in the evenings. Mom was still home until I was well into my elementary school years. And Mother would be ironing. And there was something, you remember what ironing is? You have this device that has a flat side and it heats up and you roll, push it over cloth and it smooths out wrinkles. I'm teasing you. Judy's last chore yesterday was ironing so I could have a fresh shirt for today. So but it was interesting that coming home and discovering Mother ironing was a source of real security to me. I would come in and there were those clothes that were dried on a line and brought in with fresh sunshine still in them and with a little bit of starch and the heat of the iron. There was just a warm, fresh fragrance in that smelled like security to a kid just coming in from school. I still remember that. There are many, many good things about memory and about memories about home and family. And you would say, well, Charles, you were blessed. And that's where I would differ with you, because I didn't feel blessed. Fortunate, very fortunate, but I didn't really feel blessed. Now, it may have been my mom and dad's generation. It may have been the culture, but there was just no real warm affection in the family, no expressions of love and hugs. And in particular, I never felt I pleased my daddy. There was always that need to please him and to get his blessing, which never seemed to come. And then I remember one day when he was upset with me because I did something stupid. I don't know just what. But anyway, he said, Charles, don't you have any common sense at all? That hurt. It still hurts. But it was close to a curse. You know the difference between a curse and a blessing? A curse is when either by your body language or your tone of voice or your actual words, you tell somebody, I don't want to be around you. Go away. You know, who needs you anyway? That's a curse. Not foul language, but just saying, go away, be gone. A blessing is to say, I'm so glad to be with you. It's good to see you. How are things going? How can I help you? You see, this is the blessing that comes from the acceptance and the affirmation from the other person. Well, I just didn't feel that I got that. But then, you know, I found a way to cope, and children do that. I discovered that I could make good grades in school and that I could behave myself. And if I made good grades at school and I behaved myself, I would be praised for that. And so I was taught that you earn your blessing. So that became a pattern for my life, that I would earn the blessing that I never felt was given to me. And so I moved on through life, through my years of high school and college and even seminaries, I did what I thought God wanted me to do, trying to earn a blessing, trying to earn acceptance by proving myself. Now, I learned along the way some self-awareness through the help of others about all that's involved in perfectionistic work addiction and those kinds of things. But those were intellectual awarenesses. Inside of me, there was still a little boy who was hungry for a blessing. So I moved on in life with that hunger there. And actually, it was not until my second church that one day I suddenly had a question come to me. I have tried very hard all my life to earn my Father's blessing by being good and doing right. Am I doing the same thing with God, my Heavenly Father? Am I trying to earn His blessing and His approval and His salvation by preaching sermons, by visiting people, by baptizing people, by going to committee meetings? Am I somehow planning or hoping to earn God's blessing by what I do? And I began to look at the New Testament a little differently as I wrestled with that question. And I looked, first of all, at Jesus' baptism. And here it is in Matthew. After His baptism, as Jesus came up out of the water, the heavens were opened, and He saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and settling on Him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my dearly beloved Son who brings me great joy." Now that's a blessing. "This is my dearly beloved Son who brings me great joy." And I thought about it and I thought, well, you know, Jesus hadn't done a thing. Prior to this, He hadn't healed anybody. He hadn't preached any sermons. He hasn't fed the thousands. He's done nothing. But yet God blesses him. "This is my boy. I'm pleased with him." The blessing came before Jesus did anything. Then I saw how the blessing worked out in Jesus' life. In the Sermon on the Mount as we know it in Matthew 5. We read in this translation, interestingly enough, God blesses those who are poor and realizes their need for Him. God blesses those who mourn. God blesses the hungry. God blesses those who are persecuted. And the message is that God blesses us whatever situation we might be in, whatever circumstance we might be in. God blesses us. His blessing is not dependent upon our good fortune, nor is it dependent upon our hard work. It comes out of God's love for us as He bestows His love upon us, unearned by us. And you look at Jesus' life, how He touched the lepers, how He blessed the children, how people were always wanting to crowd around Him in order to receive a blessing. And you remember in particular, Jesus told that wonderful story we call the story of the prodigal son. It's about blessing. The youngest boy went away and wasted what blessing he had. But then he woke up and he came back home and he said, "Father, let me earn my place back in your presence." He said, "Let me earn the blessing." And what was the father's response? "No, my boy who's dead is alive and he's here. Put a fresh coat on him. Put a ring on his finger to show he's my son and let's have a party." The father responded to the son's coming to be with him, to bless him, aside from his earning his place. The irony in that story is that the elder brother was trying to earn his father's blessing and he wouldn't let it go, and so he cut himself out of the party. One interpretation of that parable is that it's the parable of the waiting father. The father who is waiting on the son to wake up and come home in order that he might receive the blessing that the Father has waiting on him. And then you talk about blessing. What greater blessing is there on someone else than to give your life for them? And this is what Jesus did. And Paul says, "While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." He blessed us, died for us, while we were yet sinners. We hadn't done a thing to try or to deserve what he had done. And then in Ephesians, Paul says, "For by grace are you saved through faith. It's not your own doing, it's the work of God, lest you boast about it." You see, it's all about God's love and his seeking to bless us and our willingness to receive that blessing and let go of our efforts to try to earn it. Along the way, I heard a speaker say, "There is nothing you can do to make God love you more than he already does." And that was gospel for me. Nothing we can do to make God love us more than he already does. All we can do is respond to his blessing and his love. And in gratitude, give thanks to him that we're loved and accepted and blessed because of who he is, not because of who we are and what we have done. But he waits on us to wake up, to let go of our pride and our need to control and our efforts to try to prove ourselves and to simply come quietly in confession to him as a heavenly Father who loves us, who waits for us to give him the blessing, to give us the blessing. Now, that's good news. Earning a blessing is not good news. It's hard work. But receiving a blessing is good news. And that's what we're offered in the gospel over and over and over again. As I began to incorporate this into my life and began to try to live in the setting of God's grace and becoming aware of the fact that works is a consequence of that grace working in me. It's not the works that produce the grace, but the grace produces the works. And as I let the grace of God work in my life, he transforms me so that I begin to live like a Christian. And it can happen and be done only by the power of the grace of God working in me. So I began to wrestle with that matter of living in grace, receiving what God has to give, letting go of my need to work at being saved. Along the way, as I wrestled with this, I also had to come to terms with this matter of my earthly father. And it suddenly dawned on me, rather late in life, I'll confess, being a grown-up, that my father was a human being, that he had a daddy. And the chances are his father treated him like he treated me. That's how he learned to do it. So I began to receive and accept him more like a human being, closer, moving closer to being a brother. And then one day while we were in Zebulun, I got a call that he had had a heart attack. So we gathered up our stuff and we made a quick trip up to Elkin. And I went into the ICU unit and visited with Dad. And after we had talked a while, then I got ready to go. And Dad says, "Charles, you're a good son. I'm proud of you." There it was. He was 69 years old and I was in my early 40s. But a spoken blessing came. Something I had longed for all of my life. But so I learned there to receive what he had to give me. And obviously, well, Dad lived to about 95. And so the relationship warmed and softened. The role shifted. My brother and I had to become mother and father to our parents. But things changed as we moved through life together. But the blessing was there. Not only from a heavenly father, but from an earthly father. Now, my concern for us this morning, that many of us good church members are still trying to earn our blessing. That we come to church, we read the Bible, we give our money, hoping, and we try to behave ourselves, hoping that when we check in at heaven, there will be more plus marks by our name than will be minus marks. Hoping that somehow we'll earn our way into heaven. This is a salvation by works. And that is not good news. That means that we're anxiously trying to be right and do right and hoping that somehow it'll all end up okay, rather than celebrating the blessing that is here now and the grace that's available in life as we live it out now. The irony is that trying to practice work salvation simply produces arrogance. Do we dare to believe that we can ever be good enough to deserve the blessing of God? Can we ever earn His blessings? The Almighty, Sovereign, Creator, God? Do we really think that we could ever earn His blessing? That's rather arrogant. What happens is that we end up just self-righteous because we look around and we say, well, I'm better than others. I go to church more than they do. I pray more than they do. And we simply end up self-righteous. When all that is asked of us is that we respond to the blessing that is already there and to receive the grace of God that's offered to us, all we need to do is let go of all of our work salvation and trying to prove that we deserve God's love. We'll never deserve God's love. But we've been given God's love already while we were yet sinners. Christ died for us. And so we can receive the blessing from the Heavenly Father, even if we never get the blessing of the Earthly Father. And we can live in that and let that blessing change our lives and influence our way of living. The irony is that the unblessed have the power to bless. We can't bless ourselves. But we can bless others. We can do that in two ways. One way is to see other people as persons, just to see them, and for them to know that we see them and we recognize their presence. Have you ever seen a little boy playing out in the backyard? He's doing something and he yells, "What's this, Daddy? What's this, Daddy? What's this?" What's he doing? He's saying, "Daddy, look at me. Bless me, Daddy, by putting your eyes on me and seeing that I'm real, that I'm a person, and claim me as your child." All of that is in that cry. Watch this, Daddy. Watch this. Have you ever felt invisible? You were in a conversation, and the conversation concludes, and somehow in the process you realize that you weren't really recognized as being present. That nobody really acknowledged you as a person in conversation. They just seemed to look right through you and seemed to ignore you. Well, that's a form of a curse. But we can bless others when we let them know that we see them as persons, as human beings, as Christians, as brothers, as sisters, as someone for whom we care, someone for whom we'd like to help. And that's the second way that we can bless other people, and that is by building bridges for those who are coming along behind us, by helping other people become aware of their own being children of God, by helping them as they deal with life's challenges. When I went to Wake Forest, my roommate convinced me to take Greek as a freshman. 5 days a week, I took Greek. Dr. Cronje Arp was our professor. Dr. Arp was a tall man who was a benevolent dictator in the classroom, but he became kind of a father figure for all of us boys in his class. He would stand up front with the class, and he had a swagger stick about like this he'd use on the board, and he'd stand there with that stick up like this. But anyway, the second semester, near the end of the second semester, I was sitting at my desk as class was dismissed, and Dr. Arp came up to me and he said, "Mr. Edwards," you know, everybody is Mr. and Miss. He says, "Do you have such and such a scholarship?" And I said, "No, sir, I don't." And he said, "Well, I think you ought to apply for it." And I said, "Yes, sir." "Yeah, yes, sir." So I did. I applied for it and got it. And later on, I found out that he was on the committee. So you see, he blessed me by furthering my own education, by helping me along the way. That's the way we can bless people. And so here in our life together in the church, children of God, already blessed, recipients of the grace of God, will wash with all of the energy and presence of a God who loves us and cares for us. We have the opportunity to bless each other just for one thing, seeing each other, acknowledging each other's presence, and secondly, encouraging and helping each other along the way as we follow the journey. And then we have that as a witness too out in the world by the people with whom we engage in daily life, at work, or in the stores, by seeing them as persons and treating them as persons. That is to bless them and perhaps help them along the way. So we have that opportunity to pass on the blessing. Jesus was blessed. God says, "This is my boy. I'm so pleased with it." And Jesus blessed and blessed and blessed and blessed. And that's our model. That's what we're called to do. And we do it not out of a clenched fist, hard work, but we do it out of ease of opening our lives to the Lord's presence and letting His blessing flow through us to other people. We're a blessed people, and we have the power to bless others. It all begins when we let go of all of this self-effort of trying to prove that we're good enough to be Christian. Let that go and receive the gracious grace of a loving and caring God who wants to move in our lives to work for good, to bless us, and through us to bless others. Let's pray about it. Father, we are so blessed. We just don't recognize it, and we are so stubborn about wanting to keep on trying somehow to deserve what you've given us. Give us grace, Lord, to simply receive it, to be grateful, to let gratitude flow, and to walk in the blessing of knowing that we don't have to worry about pleasing you. You're already pleased with us. We just need to seek to be open to the work of your grace as you guide us and lead us through each day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our hymn is, "O Master, Let Me Walk With Thee." Appropriate hymn as we think about the blessing of the Heavenly Father. And as He may have spoken to you, led you to a decision, then we welcome you to share it with the body as we're gathered. I'll be down front, unless Mary, you want to. Is it okay? And I can pass the word on, whatever you have to share. But we'll be singing together, Walking with the Master. Let's stand and sing. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee. The Lord lift his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.